So what do the readings say? Jeremiah was a prophet who prophesied during the time after the fall of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem fell in 597 first, and then ultimately in 587, and the temple was destroyed, and the people were sent out into exile into Babylon and Egypt and all the corners of the earth as they knew it. And for 40 years, the Hebrew community languished in exile. And we have prophets like first Isaiah and many of the minor prophets who spoke to the Hebrew community during the time before the fall, before 587. But Jeremiah preached after the fall in those 40 years, and he was directing his poem today to them. But let's look at why it is that Jerusalem fell at all. And we know from the prophetic and the historical literature of the Bible that Jerusalem fell because they were essentially punished by God. And why were they punished by God? They were punished by God because they failed to live the way God was calling them to live. They bought into the fake truths of their kingdom. They bought into believing that power was about money or big armies or the kinds of things that sometimes we get tricked into believing. That real power was about those kinds of things that are quite earthly. And they refused, and especially at the hands of Isaiah and many of the minor prophets, they refused to believe that power is about being in touch with the Word of God in your life. And that Word of God comes to us in each other. And most especially, if you read Isaiah, that Word of God comes to us in our connection to the poor and the struggling and the suffering. That Word of God comes to us in our experience of a call to attend to the injustice of the world. And the Hebrew community would not listen to that. And so God punished them, and they went into exile, and for 40 years they remained in exile. And Jeremiah comes along and says this from our reading. Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Save, O Lord, your people, the remnant. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them shall be the blind and the lame, those with child, those in labor together. A great company they shall return. And so God is calling through Jeremiah his people to believe that they should have hope. And that the hope will not come to them through all kinds of money and authority and the false truths of the world, but it will come to them through their conversion, as Jeremiah says, through the suffering that they experienced while they were in exile. That is their hope. So, praying over that reading all week took on some maybe new nuance. When I look at the world or experience the world of this last week, a world of bomb threats and slaughter and a lack of sensitivity and empathy for those in need, for the poor, for those who are struggling and suffering in our world, And so what is God saying to me and to us? We look at the gospel today. And here is Jesus. And we've been following Jesus in the Gospel of Mark this whole year. And we remember that the first miracle in Mark happened way north in Samaria when he, if you remember, cured the blind man at the lake with spittle. And this is the last miracle of Jesus before he goes to Jerusalem to die, because Jericho is right there. Jericho is right by Jerusalem, and between Jerusalem and close to the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth. And Jesus is walking down the road with his disciples after 3 years of teaching them, of living with them, of sleeping with them, of praying with them, of eating with them. And they walk past the blind man. They walk right past the poor blind beggar, Mark says, and they don't attend to him. And he's crying out, "Jesus, Son of Nazareth," way up north, Nazareth, foreign land, northern kingdom, foreigner. "Jesus, you foreigner, have mercy on me." Yeah. She's got it. And what does he do? He has to stop the disciples after all their private time with Jesus and say, "Bring him over here," after they told him, "Shut up, shut up." "What do you want?" he says. "Just let me see again." And Jesus healed him. Jesus attended to his earthly, clearly his fundamental need to see, because he believed. And Bartimaeus, the gospel said, followed Jesus, we assume, into Jerusalem to the cross. What are we being called to as Christians in the world in which we live? Are we as a community, as an Episcopal church, are we as a community of Christians bringing new Christians proudly, five of them, into the flock today around this font? Are we tuned in to the power of the gospel that causes us to change, to soften our hearts so that our hearts beat in sync with the heart of Jesus himself? Because power, even the strongest army in the world, is useless in the kingdom of God. And all the money in the world and the highest 401k you might ever have achieved is useless in the kingdom of God. That is not why we are here. We are here to love each other in the name of Jesus, who preferred the blind man, who was a beggar, to his own disciples that morning. That's who we are called to be and to become. That's what we baptize these children and adults into today. That kind of community. A community of giving. A community that does not look for the things of the world, but looks for the things that are of God and of heaven. And Jerusalem did not hear that. And God punished them for 40 years. And after 40 years, Jeremiah rose up and reminded them of the promise. And as a great caravan, they came back to Jerusalem and they were welcomed by the Father's love. Years later, not just by the Father's love, but by the Father's physical presence in his Son, Jesus the Lord. Around whose table we are fed today for our journey. None of us are called to be perfect. But none of us, especially me, can stay where I am in my relationship to Jesus and believe that I have arrived. Because I, like all of Jesus' disciples who couldn't figure it out after living with him for 3 years, somehow know that there is always more. That I am called always to deeper and richer and more profound love. And to let go of whatever it is, whatever walls I am building to separate me from the poor, from those who suffer and struggle because of injustice and fear. And so it was a hard week. I felt incredibly challenged by these readings. What more am I called to be and become? What am I supposed to say about this on Sunday? What are these readings saying? And what did they say, you know, thousands of years ago to that Hebrew community in exile? What did they say, Mark, when he wrote this reading for the early community? All I can do is the best I can do. And all any of us can do is the best that we can do. But we can never take pride in our laurels and feel like we have arrived. We are always called to deeper conversion of heart. We are always being called to a richer experience of a God who doesn't love, but who is love and desires us to be one with him. And so we share around our table. We baptize. We welcome new members. And we pray that that freedom that only Jesus can give through our confession and conversion of heart takes root in a new and a richer way this day as we continue our prayer together. Amen.